Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Previously on Three of Hearts. Agents Vellum and Feldspar return from Gambler's Trial to find the Godex imprisoned by their enemy, Providence and Pandemonium. The twin Godexes explain their belief that life is chaos and competition, and that their deck of cards simplifies the risk involved in pursuing one's desires, while also eliminating the potential to harm others in the process. Vellum and Spar argued against the Godex's views, but failed to persuade them. Before freeing Gambler, Providence and Pandemonium forced the agents to draw one of their cards. They chose to draw the card together and share its effects, which cursed them with an ongoing debuff. Boo! Afterward, Spar was rewarded with a magic revolver, and Vellum's triple threat became the tetra threat. On their way across Stoneloft, the party encountered a group of guards chasing after a rogue giant, Sanguinia. However, to the agent's eyes, the guards were not chasing a giant, but Suits founder Jack Spade, and the reason they're in Stoneloft. Yay! In the late stages of the war, when Stoneloft was Morpholomew's only remaining stronghold, the fighting was less about battlefields and more about finding a way to end Morpholomew and Veracity once and for all. The Cerulean Sisterhood was following a lead to this end in the circular mountain range known to many as Sha De Guan Shan, and to others as Bulwark's Embrace. That's the mountain range the main podcast is currently taking place in. That would have been like, if it was a comic book, it would be like a little yellow pop-up. Like, from the editor. This put them dangerously close to Morpholomew's territory, but the Sisterhood could almost forget during their brief respite in Rudelli's Roost, the cozying halfling village at the center of the mountain range. Picture the Shire, but flat and with more brick, and you're 90% of the way there. The Sisterhood was made up of Arabella Moonthistle, a kind-faced pixie of unparalleled magical ability, Jasper, the willowy elf we all know quite well, Nasir Shadid, the halfling champion of the Godex Bulwark, and Sanguinia, a forest giant with a pumpkin for an abdomen and thickly woven vines for limbs. They were the most revered heroes in all of Bicycle, and time again they earned that title anew. For instance, during their stay at Rudelli's Roost, with a U, their wonderful cabbage stew cooked by the halflings there in honor of the Cerulean Sisterhood was interrupted by a sudden attack of arrows and magic, like, icicle projectiles on the town as Morpholomew's forces fell upon them. The Cerulean Sisterhood was ready for such an event and leapt into action immediately. You have, you know, Arabella creating, like, a force field of wind above the town to deflect the projectiles. Jasper makes these giant walls of ice to, like, funnel the forces into a specific section. Sanguinia, who is, like, sort of a ranger-type person, uses kind of, like, earthbending-type shit to, like, launch Nasir into the air, because Nasir is altered to have bat wings, and is then, like, flying in the air and using their crossbow to, like, take out enemies, and it's just this perfectly practiced routine. But pretty soon it's apparent that just like they are looking for a means to end Morpholomew has taken their trip to Rudelli's Roost as a opportunity to end the Sisterhood, and the forces just keep coming and coming. And so the Cerulean Sisterhood must evacuate the city. So it's in, like, the center of this mountain range, and so, like, it's a tightly packed city among these mountains. There are, like, escape tunnels in the town. And so the Sisterhood helps the people, the halflings, get to the tunnels and holds off the forces while that happens. And quickly they're overwhelmed, and Sanguinia proposes something, and the rest of the Sisterhood is not thrilled about the idea, but they know that if they fall, then Bicycle loses its best hope at defeating Morpholomew. And so, regrettably, Jasper and Arabella and Nasir flee into the tunnel, while Sanguinea, who is wider than the tunnel is tall, holds off Morpholomew's forces and keeps them out of the tunnel until everyone else is able to get safely away. The ensuing fight is long, it's hard, and Sanguinea does not make it through. Fighting alongside Sanguinea, as always, is their animal, Zier animal companion, Jack Spade, a currently non-sentient corgi who's got a little, like a, to him, like a broadsword in his mouth. And they do an admirable job of holding back the forces. And as Sanguinea is dying, blocking the tunnel, Z wraps up Jack in one of Zier's arms and places him in the tunnel where Morpholomew's forces cannot get to him. And Z casts a spell that many a druid have actually used before, or and casts Zier's soul into their animal companion, not living on through them, but creating a whole new life inside of a creature that they know almost as well as they know themselves. And suddenly, Jack's, you know, intelligent but simple canine eyes are granted a greater depth. And that's where we leave off in this flashback and take us to the present, where Jack Spade is currently rampaging, quote-unquote, through Stoneloft as civilians and guardsmen alike are really overwhelmed by what they perceive as the giant Sanguineas themselves. Vellum and Spar, you see this happening. You're in an alleyway with Cowlin Harrington and Merafina, and Jack has just run past you. Spar, something I forgot to mention last time, you do see something interesting when Jack runs by, which is besides Jack, the person you're here for, well, one of them, now. Like, sort of surrounding Jack, you see in that, you know, that pinkish aura that Thaumatera's magic tends to appear in, the outline of the of Sanguinea, who you would have seen, you know, portrayed in very, you know, in art and sculptures, maybe even seen because they're friends with Jasper. Like maybe they stopped by, stopped by Stoneloft or sorry, Clovenheart back in the day. Yeah, so you see like just an outline, but it's like an incorporeal, like the transparency turned almost all the way up, like image of Sanguinea, surrounding Jack.
Okay, I have questions.
Okay.
Question one, can you remind me of Sanguinea's spouse just so I have them separated out, the two of them?
Gladia.
Gladia. Gladia is the one who lived. Sanguinea is the one who died.
Correct.
Gladia lived because G is for good. Sanguinea died because S is for sacrifice.
Sad. Oh, okay.
Yeah, your thing too. Question number two. Is the Sanguinea outline interacting with things? Like if Jack runs past some, runs like under some high branches that Jack's corgi body wouldn't touch, but Sanguinea would? How does, what's the interaction there?
It just, it's like a ghost just passes through.
Okay, so Jack is only affecting this stuff that Jack touches.
Correct, correct.
Okay, outline and not interacting. And third question. Environment is, why is it, does environment have that N there? Fourth question is, if I remember right, we are like enveloped in Vellum's magic in the sort of like invisibility.
We're enveloped. We are enveloped in Vellum's magic.
As it were. What does that sound like to Spar?
Ooh. Hmm. That's such a good question. It definitely sounds like something. I think it's like kind of similar to the way your sword sounds, because ultimately the source of this magic is Thaumaterra.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's being wielded by someone else. So it's the same sort of complicated familiarity and love that you feel from your mother, but it's, you know, taken on a new, perhaps like a new shape or identity.
Same instruments, different song?
Yeah, that's very accurate, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, was like, would it have some notes that if this were a TV show, we would recognize as being part of a melody of a song that Vellum had played?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Vellum's theme plays.
I know what Spar would do, but I also want to not roll over Ela if there's something that you would like to do.
My first reaction was for Vellum to call out to Jack. But then Ela had the thought of, what if that disrupts the magic and stops the illusion of Sanguinea? And mm-hmm. what if Jack is doing this on purpose for some reason?
Mm. Spar doesn't think that many steps ahead and puts his fingers in his mouth and whistles.
Yeah, okay. So I think, like, in canon, Vellum had been about to call out and then stopped himself and was thinking all these things, like doing the math problems in his head, and Spar whistles.
Yeah, Vellum goes into bullet time and is like, his mind palace is on screen. And meanwhile, Spar is just like, need attention, go. Like, a thing we talked about before we started recording is that these boys ain't slept in a while. It's like fully got to be wrapping around almost to dawn again at some point. Mm-hmm. Or we're like deep in the night. And he is on a single track, which is get to sister, acquire sister. So yeah, he whistles for Jack.
Could you flip some cards in the shape of?
Probably not. I'm not very good at making outlines with cards.
Brawn performance.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Brawn is 3. I don't think there's, yeah, nothing in perform. And I don't get a card for healthy because we're currently a little bit cursed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's going to be 3 unless you'll give me sleuthing, which would be very generous. So I'm not going to really campaign for it. It's investigation and combat, and this isn't really
either. No, I'm sorry.
All right. That's okay. 1, 2, 3. Not to worry. That's a king and a 3 of hearts.
Wow, which is the name of the podcast.
Yeah. I'm using the Pride Knights deck, which fucked me the last time I used it. So it's apparently trying to win me back.
Okay. So you let out a sharp whistle that echoes through this section of Sanguinea. I mean, of Sanguinea. Of Stoneloft.
Kind of Sanguinea.
Uh-huh. What were you saying, Ela?
Oh, I was just saying that I'm back to using my Sea King bicycle deck.
I'm pretty much always using my space-themed bicycle deck because I always lose my other ones.
I think you guys mean that it's pronounced bicycle, actually.
Oh, you're right. Yes. Sorry.
For the two moons.
So that's why the world's called that. That was so dumb that I named the world that. Anyway. But nobody stopped me. Nope. So here
I
we
tried.
Are.
I ran out of gas money before I could get there.
Okay. I think I'm trying to think about. Let me go to my mind palace for a second. I think that. Wait, how many successes is that?
4.
Okay. Yeah, 4 successes definitely gets. Ooh. Okay. Jack keeps running and also stops at the same time. because Jack splits in two, only one Jack is made out of that pink aura, and that's the one that stays behind. And it's like tethered to other Jack by a thread. Mm-hmm. And Jack's physical body is still going. And the Sanguinea aura is following Jack, like his main body.
Okay. So we've got like a Steven Universe sort of thing happening.
Yeah.
With like,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, there's a pink aura Jack in front of you.
And are the various people that were running away from Jack, are they still dispersing? Well, so, are they chasing after the Sanguinea Jack?
It's chasing after the Sanguinea Jack. And I would say, like, yeah, and they're, like, calling for backup. There's, like, shouting for backup because they do want to, like, stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack's still going, yeah.
I'm assuming that Pink Jack has turned towards where Spar and Vellum are, because Spar...
Mm-hmm. He's responding to the whistle, and he goes...
whistled.
Mm-hmm.
So Vellum is going to open up his arms and kneel down in the gesture of, come here, boy.
And Jack does, and you realize something, going into your brain palace for a second, that neither of these Jacks has a collar around his neck. Which renders him unable to speak to you.
Uh-huh.
But he does go to you, and he's looking impatient and, frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, shaky. He's wiggling his little tiny corgi tail.
Uh-huh.
In, like an impatient way.
Mm-hmm. Vellum is gonna, you know, look at him and make sure he's not hurt anywhere. And then... like, look into his eyes, like, does Jack look like he's got the intelligence that Vellum knows him to have?
Yes.
Okay. Vellum is going to do some magic.
What kind of magic are you doing?
That's what I'm looking at.
Okay. All right.
The puppy kind.
Oh. Yeah, I think we're going to do somatic magic because this feels important to do as quickly as possible.
Uh-huh.
So he wants to essentially do a speak with animals.
Okay. Yeah, that seems to me like it would be... we're going to go intelligence biology?
Okay.
And don't forget to mark, you have so many spells, somatic spells per day.
Right. I don't want to make this argument.
And we're doing intelligence, not arcana, biology, not arcana.
Actually, let's do charm arcana, I think, for talking. What were you going to say, Essay?
I was going to say, I don't want to make this argument because I know it's going to be a worse flip, but this seems like it might be telepathy.
Ooh.
Dang.
Which I mentioned mostly because we are making a show and we'd never flip telepathy. But for game reasons, I don't want it to be telepathy. So discuss amongst yourselves. Arcana telepathy would be the slam dunk, but that doesn't work. Those are both skills.
I mean, you can do both skills. It's just
Kevin's broken the laws before. If Kevin can break the laws, we can break the laws.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is not like...
I'm not sure that works. Kevin wrote the game. I don't think automatically scales like that.
No, this is not like the American judicial system where some people are immune to the law just because they made the laws. So,
Okay.
Also, we've played with Kevin. So we get some amount of points there, right? We're
basically the same.
I still don't think it works. I don't think proximity to power confers power either. But like, you know... I'll kill the cop in my head. Y'all do whatever you want.
Okay. Here, let me message Kevin. Yeah, he says it's cool.
I have this permit. This is just a piece of paper that says I can do whatever I want.
Uh-huh.
Flip Arcana Telepathy.
Arcana Telepathy?
Sure.
You know, because everything has a downside. Because we're doing Arcana... telepathy, I can't get body and mind, but I wouldn't have gotten it with charm anyway, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Arcana is 4, telepathy is 9, healthy is not applicable at the moment. I think that's all the things. I don't think we have a coffee or anything.
No. You guys wish you had a coffee.
Yeah, we really do.
That's none successes?
That's 4 cards.
Oh, okay.
None successes so far. I think I'm going to drive a little, though.
Okay, where are you going?
Well, you know, just down the street. It's a gas station. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's a jack. That's one. Hey.
Yeah,
that's
hold
a
on.
Jack of spades.
That's a jack. Oh my God. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I flipped for jack, and he also flipped a jack of spades.
Holy shit.
That has so, to come yeah, for a crit, right? Like two jacks?
Yeah, it worked. It worked. 100% it worked.
Incredible.
So, that's so good.
I spent 3 drive, but it was worth it.
Yeah, you establish a telepathic connection with Jack. I'm going to say Spar shares it too. Mm. Because Spar sort of accidentally created the second Jack.
Oops.
Oh, what did he do? He didn't do anything.
What was that?
What did he do? He didn't do anything.
He whistled.
He didn't create a second Jack.
Well, looks like you did.
Whoops-a-doodle.
Anyway, and for the record, it's been established, probably off-screen, that Jack has many voices because he has different collars that have different voices. So he will. This is not Southern Jack that we last saw.
Okay.
And he goes, Vellum, Spar, can you hear me? Is this thing on? And yes. there's somehow mic feedback in your brain.
Uh-huh. Is Jack barking or is he just like moving his mouth? Like, what does this look like to Merafina and Harrington?
Because it's telepathic, so it looks like you guys are just staring at each other.
Okay, great. Spar winces visibly and like puts a hand up to his ear.
Oh, yeah. Merafina, non affected. Callan Harrington is like looking at you two. Like, should we go after him?
Jack, what happened? Are you okay?
Well, that's sort of a long answer, and I don't also know 100% what's happening here.
Nothing good.
He looks down at himself and goes, "I feel really light. And I look like light now that I mention it."
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is happening here?
Some timey-wimey bullshit.
Okay, so that's worse than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we can work with this.
Do you still have a connection to... Okay, just a minute ago, we saw you, and then you split into two. Do you still feel a connection, a tether to the other you that we saw, or am I? He just kind of trails off.
He looks to his right, and Spar, you see this also. And you know what? I'm gonna say now that Vellum is like linked in, like you all see this. Like, yeah, there's still a thread attached to from Jack to something, and it's like kind of billowing and moving as if like whatever's on the other end is moving somewhere. So yeah, seems connected. And he'll say, the last thing I remember, I was, and he like seems to remember, I was kidnapped.
By whom?
I'm not sure. They put me in a bag.
That's rude.
It was rude. They didn't say much. I came here because...
With a lot of different experiences with kidnapping, I gotta say, putting a bag over someone's head is really one of the ruder options. You can easily put a blindfold... A gag if you must, but you know, just putting someone in a bag or a bag over their head, it's just got no class.
I think they threw me over their shoulder like I was trash. It was very rude.
Very rude.
By the way, Spar spoke out loud.
Yeah. I think some of what Vellum has said has been out loud. At least the part where he was asking if Jack was okay.
Callan Harrington can't even see Jack. He's just like, these people are strange and magical, so I'm just going to just trust them, I guess. So Jack says, I remember now, someone asked me, a man asked me if I wanted Sanguinia back. That's the last thing I remember.
Do you remember what you said?
I assume I would say, I mean, if I was being completely honest, yes.
Well,
Jack, a second ago you started to say that you came up here because...
Oh, yes. Someone defiled Sanguinia's grave.
Oh.
Yes.
What did they do to it?
They dug it up.
Ooh.
I'm not sure to what end. Before I got that far, I was abducted. It was clearly a trap for me.
Have you visited the grave yet to see if it has...
I just broke out, I remember now, but I wasn't me. I was Sanguinia, and I was imprisoned. And I broke free. And now I'm running away, but I'm also right here.
Okay.
Were you imprisoned in a box under the ground?
No.
Okay. So you're not in like a grave time loop situation.
No, I'm not in a G34.
All right. Well, I guess we reunite you with your body and go from there.
That seems like a good idea, I guess.
By the way, I'm not sure if you've met. This is Marathina and Cowlin Harrington.
Does Vellum, like, hold Jack out to each of them in turn?
I think Vellum is gesturing with his hand, like, open hand, towards each of them individually.
Marathina nods, says, we have not met, but I'm familiar with the, idea of Jack. And Cowlin looks like a little bit worried about your mental faculties as he goes, there's nobody there.
There is, but you're not tuned in to the right frequency. Don't worry about it. We'll get you there.
He stares at you for like a full like 3 seconds and then just like looks away. Jack looks confused and says, that's Max Harrington.
Vellum nods. Yes. And then he says telepathically, I assumed it was Max. Does Max use they, he pronouns?
He or she.
He or she, not they.
Nope.
Okay. He introduced himself as Cowlin and has said things to the effect that he believes we look alike. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Max, but for the moment... he appears to believe he is me, or a version of me.
Just like I thought I was Sanguinia. That's very interesting.
Don't care for that.
Would you like to run on your own, or do you want to be carried?
I can run.
Jack, as we are like getting up to go take off at a brisk jog. You left me a note saying that if you weren't back in a certain amount of time that you'd been kidnapped. So did you anticipate that this would happen? It seems like, was there something else going on?
Not exactly. It's not the first time someone has used Sanguinia's memory as a trap for me. So I just, a safety measure.
What happened last time?
Oh, this was just someone that Suits had sort of put away a few years prior. And they got out. They were mad at me because I was heavily involved in the case. And I don't think this is them. This was a young person. And his name was Otis. He didn't seem very connected. And he just sort of said something about a relative of Sanguinia's wanting to speak to me. And it was a trap. Mm. And he tried to put me in a dog pound. It was a whole fiasco.
Mm. Okay. One more question.
Uh-huh.
Did you set up the two of us to go on a mission to Clovenheart?
No.
Okay.
Why?
And then Propeller Vellum fills Jack in on the podcast.
Okay, just to be clear, because that would take, a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
Is this happening? Are we just letting Jack's body get away? I mean, we know where to find it because it's connected to other Jack. I'm just making sure.
I figured we were walking, talking.
Like, yeah, I said as we set off.
Oh, sorry. You're right. Jack. You're right. You did say that.
Okay. I did.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Okay. Propeller goes. Jack now knows everything and is just more and more. Like, his ears get lower and lower until they're flat as you continue telling the story.
I think Vellum has told Jack just about everything. I don't know if he would have mentioned that, like, he and Spar made out, but
that would be wild.
A detective, mm-hmm. A dog detective.
Oh man, even. I'm flipping for that. Hold on.
So he might pick up on it. He may put together the clues.
He got a king and a three of hearts, which is the name of the podcast.
Damn.
So. I mean, Jack doesn't know what you two have done physically, but he knows that you're boyfriends for sure.
Jack is thinking to himself, like, is smart money on the spring wedding or the summer wedding?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Good.
You follow this path and like this thread, and you come to like a courtyard. It's very late. Like, it's more like early at this point. And there's some like market stalls and like a barber shop, and they're all like closed down for the evening. And there's a fountain in the center. There's four ways to exit, and as there are often with squares, there are three guards at either of the exits. And Jack Gwinnia here is like looking around at where to go, and then. Jordan's flipping something. Hold on. Okay. It's only one success. And then from above, you hear a screech and the flapping of wings as Kalinda, the giant heron on which Nat Cobblestone rides, descends upon the square in the direction of Jack.
Which Jack?
Jack Gwinnia.
Cool, great. Love to see it.
This sounds like a good place to go to the midtrope, but I just wanted to ask, does Spirit Jack reunite with Body Jack, or is he staying separate?
Well, I think staying separate for now. We'll get to that after the midtro.
Okay.
All right. Onwards to the midtro.
Woo.
We'll get there on a giant bird.
No!
I forgot, it's afraid of giant birds.
I'm not afraid, I just have beef with this particular giant bird.
Good afternoon, morning, or evening, folks. My name is Jordan Quiverance. I am your host / wingman / GM. My pronouns are they, them. You can find me on Blue Sky at Jordan Quiverance, or on Instagram at Jordan and Quiverance, or on Three of Hearts Discord if you want, which you should. It's the most important place to go on the internet. That's my favorite social media, personally. And there's not even one Nazi on that platform.
It's true. That's very true. Do we have a theme for Agent Facts?
No, we kind of forgot about that this time, huh?
I had mine left over from last time.
Mm.
Mine's about Jack.
Okay. Yeah, right. I think Jack themed facts are good. My fact's gonna be a Jack themed fact.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Go for it.
Okay. So it's about Jack and this Otis kid. So something we're talking about enough is that, you know, as a solar punk podcast, it is a world that is like trending towards eliminating certain resource related problems like food and shelter and stuff. And so I figure this must also apply to dogs. And so maybe there were dog pounds in Vos and Natura when Otis got put away, but Otis is living pretty bad. So he got like a couple years in fantasy prison. When he got out, there were no longer dog pounds. So he successfully kidnapped Jack, but he wanted to put him in like a shitty kennel, like where he would be have a miserable time and he's going to like take his collar away and like make like leave him in squalor. But there just weren't like shitty dog pounds. There were like nice little like basically dog resorts for stray dogs. And not only that, at every dog resort in town, we'll call them shelters, dog shelters, animal shelters. In anticipation of Jack being kidnapped, Greggins has put signs of like, if you see this dog without his collar, that's the leader of Suits, Jack Spade, and you should return him at once. So Otis was foiled pretty quickly.
Good.
There you go.
Nice.
All right. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Miriam Felspar. He uses he, him pronouns. You can find me on Tumblr at Citrus and Salt or on the 305's Discord, where we all belong.
Mm-hmm.
My spar fact for the day. I'm thinking. I'm scrolling.
You want to come back to you?
No, I almost have it. Yeah, come back to me. Go ahead, Ela.
Okay. Hi, this is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi, or you can find my Tumblr, Danmei Archive, Danmei Archive. I use they and he pronouns, and I play Agent Vellum, who also uses they and he pronouns. Today's Agent Vellum fact. I've got, like, a snippet of one and then an actual one. So the snippet is, like, half of a fact.
Okay.
And it's that I imagine back in the early days of Suits, Vellum getting out his little toolbox and tinkering to help make Jack's office accessible to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if he necessarily invented the fancy file cabinet or whatever, but, you know, he maybe tinkered with it to make it work exactly at Jack's height or something. Like, maybe it was designed for a pixie or something, and so they just kind of scaled it a little bit. My actual Agent Vellum fact is one day Vellum and Jack, I think they'd probably had lunch together or something. So they're walking down the street back towards the office. And someone tried to rob Vellum. And Vellum couldn't keep up with the chase because he was having a bad day for his leg.
Uh-huh.
But Jack was able to catch the baddie and like get his jaw around their leg, their pants leg, and get them to stop.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I imagine Vos and Natura does not have an incredibly high crime rate. And as a result, I imagine that about, I would say at least like 5% of the crimes in Vos and Natura happen to Vellum.
I mean, it's plausible.
All right, I have my Spark Jack fact.
Okay.
Which is that after growing up with a pixie for a sister, Spar is very sensitive to, like, speaking to people on eye level. Mm. And so when he has to talk to Jack, depending on what either of them is feeling like, sometimes that Spar sits down on the floor, but sometimes it's Spar puts Jack on his desk, on usually Spar's own desk, but also on Jack's desk if Jack wants. And then sits in a chair so they're eye level.
That's adorable.
And sometimes if it seems like if Jack is having an independent day, he'll like leave his chair position close enough to his desk that Jack could like scramble up onto the chair and then scramble up onto the desk. That's so he tries to provide options for always speaking face to face with Jack.
I love that.
That's very good.
For some reason, that fact made me miss my corgis a lot. And I don't know why that particular one did it to me, but. Yep. It's okay. They're alive. They're just not here. Well, if he's that sad about it.
R.I.P., but like as a nap, not like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us in the Mid-Tro. We hope you'll join us for the rest of the podcast, which is happening now.
Woo! Doodly-doo.
Initiative?
4.
Mm, 5.
Okay. So Nat goes first, and then Spar and Vellum go, and then the bird goes. Although I think that right now the bird and Nat are kind of one combatant. I'll give y'all a round because Nat didn't roll very well on her surprise attack there. So you guys see Nat and her big ol' heron Kalinda dive bombing towards Jack, and you know from Magnolia that Nat is here to capture Jack.
Hey, Jordan.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much we may have stipulated before, if we did at all. The telekinesis that the Tetra threat can do.
Uh-huh.
Is that limited by a certain mass?
It's limited by how good you flip, baby.
Okay. Vellum's plan was, I mean, on the one hand, having what's-her-name be on the bird and them acting as one is its one target, but it would certainly throw her off her game if we just yank her off her bird.
Uh-huh.
So that was my first thought. Do you have any feedback or ideas, essay?
Spar is going to go try to tackle Jack to put himself between Kalinda and Jack. So whatever you want to do, go for it. Spar is going for a physical intervention.
Okay. Then, yeah, I think Vellum wants to try to telekinesis Nat off her bird. And, you know, if it happens to throw her against some other people or whatever, that's an added bonus.
All right, sounds good. Go ahead and flip. I'm going to say presence and telekinesis.
Just not going to do body and mind this episode, are we?
Uh-uh.
Presence is 3. Telekinesis is 2. None for healthy, but 1 for eclectic.
All right.
So mark that. All right. We got a king and a joker.
Okay.
Do we want to ante this joker?
This feels fairly low stakes at the moment. I don't know where our other jokers are hiding.
Okay.
And we just started combat, but I think let this one go.
I'm going to pocket this joker for just a second here.
I love to hear that.
And I want to flip first bar before I like paint this whole picture, you know? Or I want Essay to flip first bar, I should say. So, Spar and Kalinda are going to do contested To see who gets the jack first.
Mm-hmm.
So, Spar, give me agility athletics.
Okay. And would you count this as an investigation or combat flip?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Okay. Agility is 3, athletics is 2, so that's 5. We do not get healthy, so it remains 5.
Okay.
That's 1 success, but I'm going to use some drive.
Okay.
1 drive used for a crit, Queen of Hearts.
Wow, nice.
Total to 4 successes.
Okay. So, Spar, you do that. You get in between Jack and Kalinda. Kalinda, I was only using Kalinda's 1 success from earlier, so you handily beat her. I'm going to say the birds are her.
Mm-hmm.
And... you said you're tackling. So are you like throwing yourself over Jack? Like what's the move?
Yep. It's a throw his body over Jack like Jack is an oversized grenade.
Okay, great. Kalinda is going to slow and like does not want to like necessarily dive bomb Spar. So like kind of slows her roll. At the same time, Vellum, you're trying to yank Nat off. You only got 1 success and 1 Joker. So you're going to succeed in pulling her off, but not with the force you would like. So she kind of just topples over the edge of Kalinda and plummets into Spar.
Oops.
Let's see. Okay. 1 damage to both Spar and Nat.
Mm-hmm.
But also a Joker. So I think for the Joker, she knocks... Let's see here. Hold on.
Does she end up with, like, Spar's elbow in her face or something?
Yeah, like, I think you're all just kind of in a heap now. If anything, actually, yeah, here's this. You and Nat end up in a heap, but Jack wriggles out from underneath you and starts booking it away.
Is that 1 dodgeable or not?
It's dodgeable.
Okay, then I will choose not to take it, thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, you kind of maneuver yourself in time. That makes sense, too, because, like, a whole armored person falling on top of you and Jack could be bad for Jack. So maybe you kind of wriggle out of the way and you, like, yeah, you are not directly hit by this person.
Mm-hmm.
So Spar and Nat are kind of on the ground, disheveled.
Oh, I had a question.
Uh-huh.
To change the dial on the Tetra threat, is that, like, a move action I have to take? I can't do it after I've done a thing?
I'm going to say, yeah, it won't take up your whole turn, but what I will say is that it won't be changed until the next turn, if that makes sense.
Okay, so like after doing the telekinesis, I could change it and it would be for the next round.
Correct.
Okay, I would like to establish that I've changed it to Taekwondo.
Okay, I will allow this.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to balance it so that it's not like, oh, on this turn, I realize because of the way things have gone that now I need this. So I'm going to change it right now to this. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. But that's why I asked.
Yeah, that's fine. Alrighty. Although I think it's going to be your turn because I think, well, no. All right.
Question?
Uh-huh.
When do our friendly NPCs go?
Same rules as always, like whenever you want them to.
Okay.
Yeah, when you have something for them to do, go ahead and have them do it.
Okay.
I just don't like rolling them into combat because then it becomes, like, 2 rounds of you guys and then, like, 8 rounds of me, and that's not very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me, when Nat arrived on the scene, did she interrupt Jack reuniting with his other body?
Other Jack seemed unsure whether he was gonna reunite with his other body yet, and he hadn't done it yet, so I guess in a way, yes.
Okay.
The reunion has not happened.
Cool.
I'm trying to decide. So you guys are on the ground. I'm trying to decide whether Nat lost a turn for falling off that bird, but I don't think so. I think she's just disoriented and going to have some less flips than usual. She's going to try to headbutt Spar. I'm going to give her 2 less flips than normal. Oh my gosh. My jokers are right next to each other.
Oh, no. Oh, good.
I mean, that is good, because Nat's jokering.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she gets 2 successes in a joker. I'm going to go straight forward, because she's headbutting Spar. Once again, you guys are sharing damage.
Okay.
Unless you're dodging the damage, because then it's not hitting you. So I guess it's like, this is the deal. If you're willing to take 2 damage to the head right now, she'll take 2 damage to the head.
Yeah, yeah, I'll take it.
All right. All right. So you guys both take 2 damage. And her nose is bleeding. And it's Spar's turn. Spar and Vellum's turn. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, when she headbutts you and like she's like staring down at Spar, nose bleeding, she just like kind of growls at you and goes, "What did you do to me?"
I didn't do anything to you. You fell on me.
And she goes, "You messed with my head."
You headbutted me.
Okay, continue.
Did Kalinda do anything?
Kalinda dive bombed. That was like Kalinda's term, was like kind of dive bombing Jack. Okay. Backing off when Spar got there.
Okay. Who else do we have in the scene? Are there still people chasing after other Jack?
I think the guards are currently bamboozled. There's like suddenly an interloper in knight armor. Mm-hmm. And y'all are fighting. So I'm going to give them one more turn before they start reacting. So they're still just like figuring out what to do.
Vellum is going to whistle for other Jack to come to him.
Okay, he does.
Okay. And then he is going to try to reunite the Jacks.
Okay.
It's the Now Kiss comic, but with 2 puppies.
Aww. Just push their faces against each other. They squish their cheeks.
You get some resistance, not like Jack doesn't want to, but more like just like, this is like sort of a common magical phenomenon. Just like if this were a video game, you got to hold down the buttons to do this action kind of resistance. Like it takes some effort to do.
Okay.
So go ahead and you're going to have to flip presence.
Damn.
Arcana. I'm sorry. Presence is the magic one.
All right.
Is one of the magic ones.
All right. I did not use Eclectic earlier for Arcana. Can I use it now?
Yeah, that's fine.
Presence is 3. Arcana is 4. 1 for Eclectic. We got an ace, and a jack. So that's 3 successes.
And one of them is Jack.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On
it's brand. A jack of diamonds this time.
Mm-hmm.
Ace of spades.
Okay. Imagine that Jack Prime is a window that you are putting Jack Pink into to get into his home or something. You lose balance and fall into the window that is Jack Prime with other Jack. So, Vellum, I don't think anyone has eyes on you right now, but if they did, a little pink Vellum would be falling into Jack as well. And Vellum's...
Is this the Joker?
No, the Joker was just Nat falling on Spar.
Then why is this happening?
Because of the rules of magic at play that I understand that you don't.
Well... So now there's a pink Vellum.
Who has fallen into Jack. And regular Vellum just goes out. Like, crumples to the floor.
Are the Jacks reunited? Or are they still just kind of smooshed?
The Jacks are reunited.
Am I in a Jack sandwich?
Kind of. That's pretty accurate. Jack also passes out. And the Sanguinea aura, like, goes away for now.
Okay. Well... This didn't go as planned.
Yeah. You.
Am I still conscious?
Yeah, I'm going to get to you in a second. I'm going to pick up with Spar. So, okay. Spar, what are you doing while this happens? I want to say something really quick about Spar. When you get headbutted, that is when your new magics sort of come into play. Something in your brain gets kind of jiggled around a little bit.
That's really what Spar's brain needs. I think more head damage is good. Is going to be good.
We'll yeah. Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Keep bopping him until he starts working right.
Yeah.
So what Spar is trying to pin Nat.
Uh huh.
And tells her, call off your bird. If it seems like he has the upper hand here, we're gonna. If he's just fucked on this, then he's like not even gonna try the threat.
No, it's. I would say you guys are evenly matched. Mm-hmm. She doesn't yet know that. You're as far as outnumbered at this point.
Merafina and Max are still here.
That's true. That's true. Merafina doesn't do anything ever.
But her favorite new pupil is passed out.
Oh, that's true. She might give a shit because of Vellum. Spar, Brawn, persuasion for intimidation, I think.
Sure. Brawn is 3, persuasion is 2, so that's 5. Is this combat?
Sure.
6. 1 for sleuthing. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 1 success. I'm going to use some drive.
Okay.
1 drive. 2 drive. Used 2 more drive. Ah, fuck, we'll throw a third one on it. Use 3 drive for 2 successes.
Okay. So I'm going to make this dramatic. As I mentioned, you got kind of knocked on the noodle.
Mm-hmm.
And...
story of Spar's life.
Yeah. Something awakens within Spar. He has had several interactions with God Exus now, which is more than most mortals can say. You know, he was kind of raised by one on accident, or at least birthed by one and partially raised by one. And then there's Kronosava, and now there's the Gambler.
And Providence and Pandemonium.
And Providence and Pandemonium.
And Merafina, if you want to count her.
Yeah, and Merafina. These God Exes have left some, like, residual marks on Spar at this point. Some bigger than others, some quite big, like taking away a lot of his life. You have gotten something in return for each of the God Exes that you have encountered, like the 2 main ones, which I would say Kronosava and Gambler, that you have like formed, if not a positive, then at least a neutral relationship with. And you have awakened ability. So the Gambler mentioned that you and Vellum were kind of like one entity to the God Exes.
Mm-hmm.
And that has become truer than ever. So once per session, you are able to use one of Vellum's stats on your roll or your flips, or you can have Vellum use your stats for his flips.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then your Kronosava ability, you can rewind time a couple seconds. Like we say 3, like less than 10.
Can we name that ability We Come as a Pair?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry, and what was the other one?
The other one, you can rewind time like less than 10 seconds at the cost of 3 health. So I'm not saying you need to use those right now, but that happens. Mm-hmm. And when you say this to Nat, which is to call your bird off,
mm-hmm.
there is kind of this like echo in your voice, almost like it's being like magically amplified.
Mm-hmm.
And you're both like in the form of light coming out of your mouth for a second, and in your eyes, there is a silver, a pink, and green light swirling coming in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of like shine like out from your Kronosava.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. And Nat backs the fuck up.
Well, Spar is trying to pin her, so.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I don't know if that's a, like, goes limp or, like, complies. Or,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah. You are able to pin Nat.
Mm-hmm.
And she does, like, a quick whistle, and Kalinda ascends higher into the sky. Like, doesn't leave the area, but is, like, not in attack mode right now.
Mm-hmm. He eases up enough that he's not causing her too much discomfort, but he is not letting her go yet.
Yeah.
Got some JoJo powers now.
Now the guards... Stoneloft sort of surround you, 2 of you, and point their rifles, they're like old-timey rifles, as established, at you two, and say, I don't know who you two are, But under the orders of head librarian Serf Bronson, you are under arrest. And someone says they might be, but not for you, or not by you. And the guards, and I assume probably Spar and Nat, look at the source of the voice. And Ishbala is there. It's like emerging from kind of the direction that you all came from.
Mm-hmm.
And she's holding a badge in her hands. And she says, I am taking these two into my custody under my authority as an agent of Scales.
Oh. What does that mean?
That I don't know. I mean, I know. I can tell you what it stands for if you want to know. Or I can say that till next time. We'll find out next time. And that's where we end with Spar. We're going to do a quick, tiny little thing with Vellum. Vellum, you awaken, and you're in the same place you were, the same square you're in, but all the colors around you are muted.
Mm.
It's a very similar experience to when Spar was a ghost wandering around what's that hotel called? The Atria. Back in Cindershore.
Yeah.
You're solid to yourself, though. And the only other being that's not, doesn't look like they're in, like, a old-timey photograph right now that's, like, muted around you. Because you also can't hear what's happening outside this area.
Okay.
You see Sanguinia, this pumpkin-shaped giant. I didn't fully describe them earlier. They have, like, you know, almost the way that, like, moths will have, like, false faces on their wings or whatever. Mm-hmm. They have what looks like a jack-o'-lantern face on the pumpkin part, but that's actually not their head. There is, like, an actual head that comes out of the top of the pumpkin.
Okay. And it's kind of in the pattern of the pumpkin, not actually carved out like a jack-o'-lantern?
Correct. Okay. And sticking out of the top, where Sanguinia's normally, like, green and leafy head would be, is the corgi head of Jack Spade.
What the fuck?
And we'll resume this scene next time on Three of Hearts.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dog Detective, our intro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
What's Merafina doing? What's Callan Harrington doing?
I think Callan is like has run to your side and is like checking on you to Vellum's side.
Uh-huh.
And Merafina, I'll tell you what's going on in her head. She's still thinking. Merafina does not believe in using her Godex magic in order to interfere in the affairs of mortals.
Mm.
However, it is becoming increasingly clear to her that some fucked up shit is happening that might be beyond mortals.
What was her first clue? Was it when the Godex's 2 to 3 of them showed up and said, yeah, this is us beefing. That's what's causing this. Do you think that was, did that like maybe help clue her in, maybe?
Yeah, that gave her a clue.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
And so she's not doing anything yet, but she's watching the scene very intently, kind of preparing to magically intervene, depending on what each Bala does next time on Three of Hearts.
What was she thinking when she saw Spar glow up like a Christmas tree with the colors of 3 different goddesses?
Honestly, that this all seems like shit she doesn't want to be involved in.
You know, yes. That's fair.
Spar doesn't either.
Wow. Goodness.
They have a lot in common, Spar and Merafina.
Mm-hmm.
That was wild.
Yep.
Goodness gracious. Sorry, I just want to mention that the power we named Come as a Pair is a Space King's original. That one didn't come from us. It's originally called LinkedIn.
Yes.
Because it's supposed to be linked to being able to use technology, which we've kind of substituted all kinds of magic bullshit for.
Yeah.
But the Kronoshava power is a Jordan original.
Ta-da-da!
Very cool.
Thank you.